It's time! Hey, Dave, listen up, please!
Scotty, that's a great question. I got a question for you, though, Scotty. You know that there's other players on our team besides Desi.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know. Something amazing.
Jones for three. And he banks it in.
Bailey. Up and in and a chance for three.
Welcome in to the basketball podcast of Mid-America. I am Seth Campbell, joined by Scotty Bordelon, as always. And breaking news out of the hill, on top of the hill, Arkansas will not play this weekend against Texas A&M because the Rona got to Texas A&M. Unfortunately, the Aggies are having issues with coronavirus.
Wiped out both of their games this week.
So they are taking the week off, whether they wanted to or not, which means Arkansas will take the week off, which is a good thing if you really look at it. Maybe not as a fan. As a fan, you want to see them play. You want to see the Razorbacks in action, especially during a home game.
Yeah, especially since they've won four straight in the SEC now.
And a team that they could very easily take that streak out to five, and
right.
Not the best. All of those things are things that we think about and that Eric Musselman is thinking about. But also, Eric Musselman is thinking about this. Desi Sills, he left the last game against Mississippi State with a shoulder injury. They said he was good to go, but some rest might do him good. Moses Moody, he was a game-time decision. Justin Smith had his ankle looked at halftime. Jalen Williams, he played 8 minutes, I believe, and shot two shots and then was not really good to go for the rest of the game. Am I missing anybody, Scotty?
I've rewatched the Mississippi State game three times now.
Which is three times too many.
You're right. Well, I guess I've rewatched it twice. I saw it once in person. I've rewatched it twice to get shot information, which we can talk about that a little bit later too.
Oh yeah.
But I saw Jalen Tate limping also. So that's what?
Five?
Five guys.
And five important
guys? A couple of starters,
guys?
Two or three starters.
Yeah. So we're going to dive just a little bit more into that. And then also on the basketball podcast of Mid-America, we're going to dive into those shot numbers. We're going to go full nerd here, Scotty and I are. Scotty has, as he said, watched the game two more times, which God bless his soul. You know, those sweet ladies that are like, oh, God bless you. That's what I'm saying to you right now for watching that game again, Scotty, and then again. But we've got some shot chart numbers, really Scotty has them, that are going to be really interesting. And then on top of all of that, we talked to Simon Gersberg, which you may not know who that is, but he is the owner of the website and really the idea behind shotquality.com. If you haven't been to this website, go to shotquality.com, and it gives you some data points to what are good shots, what are bad shots, and how Arkansas is performing in those. He had a really interesting interview, and I mean, the guy's just a stud. He's a junior in college.
Yeah, a junior at Colgate.
And I mean, just casual flexing. And his also casual flex, if you follow him on Twitter, is in his bio. It's 8 NBA teams use this in over
40 Division I basketball programs.
I mean, and dude's just a junior. Like, he's going to get a job out of college. What do you think, Scotty?
Yeah, I mean, I think I liked going to that website, and then you click on the about page, and then you click a video, and Seth Greenberg is reading is telling you all about the information. So it's a pretty big deal. It's a really neat website. And in a year where Eric Musselman has talked so much about shot selection, this website will give you a lot of a much better idea. Instead of just like you can watch a game and you can on the surface level say, I like that shot, I don't like that shot. This is much deeper than
this is quantitative data.
Yeah. I mean, this is as deep a dive into shot selection as I've seen. And you'll hear it in the interview with Simon. He'll give you a breakdown of which players take the best shots, which players take the worst shots, which shots are best for certain players, which shots are the worst for certain players. It was fascinating to me.
Yeah, I'm not going to give anything away besides the fact this is my little tease for you. He said Arkansas is, quote, good, end quote. an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it at that. You got to dive into the interview later in the podcast as to why. But now to the matter at hand, Scotty. Arkansas's game against Texas A&M has been postponed, I think is a technical term. But the likelihood that this game gets made up, especially since A&M already has to make up a game from earlier this week, is becoming less and less likely. The fact that this game gets made up. All of that said, this is, as you wrote in an article on WholeHogSports.com, this is an opportunity for Arkansas to rest up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they were literally the walking wounded the other night. Like Jalen Williams comes out for pregame warmups. He's got a compression sleeve over his right knee. He had a little pad over the kneecap. Desi Sills didn't play, like you said, in the second half. He had something on his left shoulder. I thought we were looking at like a broken collarbone type injury when it first happened, because Desi all the time, like he takes hard spills all the time, but that one was pretty forceful. Who else do we got? Moses Moody played 37 minutes despite rolling his ankle a couple of days before. And Muscle was like, he should have been happy that I didn't play in 40 minutes. I got him 2.5 minutes of rest. Jalen Tate, you know, he rolled his ankle really bad in the Southern game, if you remember that game that Arkansas made up after the Tulsa game got postponed. And I think that might still be lingering a little bit. I don't know if it was his ankle, but he was limping a little bit. And Justin Smith, this week off is great for Justin Smith, because you maybe rushed him back from injury or from surgery maybe a little bit quickly. I think Eric Musselman's even said that. Maybe if they could probably do it again, they might not throw him out there for the Alabama game. But getting him off his feet is a really good sign, because at halftime they're checking him out, checking his foot and his ankle out. He's been really good the last 3 or 4 games that he's been back. But I mean, I was talking to my dad on the phone earlier, and he was like, I still don't know if Justin Smith is like 100% back, because he's not running with, you know, late in games, he's not running with like the same amount of energy that he normally does. And, you know, maybe on some of those transition buckets that he had, I think if Justin's fully healthy, he dunks both of them instead of just the one that was not contested. But be a good time for Arkansas to get off its feet, you know, but also clean some things up, especially, you know, on the offensive end. I think defensively they've been playing pretty well lately.
Yeah, I think the showing at Mississippi State shows that they've been playing on the defensive end. All right, two things I want to get into, Scotty. I want to get into the schedule, how it looks now, and then I want to talk a little bit about Connor Vanover as well and his play. But first, schedule. You've won 4 straight games in the SEC. You had an opportunity to run that to 5, and we're going to be favored against Texas A&M on a Saturday in Bud Walton Arena. So you could have run that streak to 5, and you were close against Oklahoma State too. So you had some momentum riding all the way through this last stretch. Now, all of a sudden, your stretch for Arkansas, where you have winnable games in a row, has ended. You get to go on the road and play Kentucky. And listen, you don't have to tell me that Kentucky's not the same team. I understand. But it's still on the road at Kentucky. This might be the week that they figure it out. It would naturally be when they start playing Arkansas. Then you got to go at Missouri and then play Florida at home. You have 3 really tough games. Looking ahead, Arkansas is on that cusp of the bubble. And, you know, I said that after that Oklahoma State, or before the Oklahoma State game, if they won the Oklahoma State game, I felt like they would be a team that would be in the NCAA tournament, not on the bubble talk. If they lost it, they would be a team that could very well make the NCAA tournament, but they would be on the bubble basically for the rest of the season. That's where they are right now.
Yeah, I think Lenardi had them last 4 buys in his last bracket breakdown.
So if you want to stay in the conversation and even get away from that last 4 buys scenario, what do you need to do against Kentucky, Missouri, and Florida?
Win 2 of the 3. I mean, that means that you win 1 on the road at the least, right? So Kentucky, according to KenPom, is number 55. Missouri is number 34. Florida is number 28. We wake up on Thursday morning, Arkansas is number 26.
Hey.
So Arkansas, I mean, if you just look at KenPom rankings, which is, you obviously just can't do that by itself, but Arkansas, according to the numbers, is better than those teams. And I think, so we were talking to, I don't want to spoil the whole interview, but Arkansas, the first time it played Missouri, based on the shots they were supposed to get, was supposed to win by 19.
Oh my gosh.
Which is crazy. So if Arkansas gets similar shots, converts at a higher level or at a higher rate, and is a little bit more efficient at the rim than 3 of 23, then I like Arkansas' shot at Missouri, because I'm still not sold on Missouri. Like, I think they've got Jeremiah Tillman, and that's about it on their front line, and their guards outside of, you know, Xavier Pinson can be a little bit turnover prone and up and down. But I think Arkansas has got a decent shot to win at Missouri. They've got to defend, obviously, and they got to keep Xavier Pinson off the free throw line. They got a defensive rebound the way they did against Mississippi State.
More posters might be needed.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe they'll keep Pinson off the free throw line, sheets all over the walls and on under the windshield wipers of players' cars. But
Scotty is famous, by the way. Did y'all see that? Scotty is
hardly
been tweeted out by ESPN, the ESPN account. So, I mean, I'm talking to a celebrity over here.
And I made it on TMZ without showing my ass. So that's a positive.
Hey, we'll take that victory any day of the week. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just had to tell the people that you're famous.
Hardly at all. But that Kentucky game, I feel like, is very winnable. Right? Like, what about Kentucky scares you?
Nothing besides
very little. Like, they defend
nothing besides the name. In all honesty, nothing besides the name. And that's what Kentucky has earned, I guess, as being the University of Kentucky. But this team is very reminiscent of that team that didn't make the NCAA tournament and had to go play in the NIT and lost in the first round to Robert Morris.
I think most Arkansas fans would say they're afraid of the whistles at Rupp. Yeah. More than anything else. Kentucky doesn't have a guy on that roster that really scares me outside of Dante Allen, because he can shoot.
Is Boston still playing for them, or did he get hurt? I can't even remember now.
Yeah, he's playing. He's playing. He's been fairly steady with his minutes. I think Terrence Clark is the one that you're talking about. He hasn't played since December 26th. Okay. So he's been playing the last 5 weeks. And Calipari, last night, I think, said that, you know, they've done MRIs and they can't find anything. So after 5 weeks, if the MRIs can't find anything, you can't play. And so he hasn't been on the floor. Isaiah Jackson is a really good shot blocker. Outside of that, not much really like is going to make you stay up at night, I don't think. Let me read you some of their KenPom numbers. Effective field goal percentage, they rank 300th in the country. Turnover rate, 283rd. 3-point percentage, 296th. 2-point field goal percentage, 273rd. And so, and they also have a non-steal turnover rate of 12%, which is 295th nationally. So that's a team with a lot of offensive problems, but they are able to stay in some games and even beat. I mean, they beat LSU on the 23rd, on January 23rd, which that was a pretty big win for them. But they can stay in games because they're a top 15 team nationally defensively. And they've got a team block rate of 16%, which is fourth best in the country. So really bad offensive team, really good defensive team. But if you can't score, man, you can't win.
I think that is solely the name. And so then you continue to look down. You've got to count. If you want to be an NCAA tournament team, you've got to win at Kentucky. I feel like that's...
because that's a game now that you're supposed to win.
Yeah. I mean, Arkansas has done what they're supposed to do this season and winning games that they were supposed to win. It doesn't matter that their name is Kentucky. That is a supposed to win game this year.
So listen to this too. Like, we were talking about Simon's website, shotquality.com. Kentucky ranks 12th in the SEC in adjusted shot quality.
Not great.
Arkansas is third. So Kentucky's bad offensively, partly because they're fairly consistently not taking great shots.
All right. I think that the Kentucky is a must win, and then anything can happen at Missouri. But if you lose the Missouri game, then you feel like you need to win the Florida game.
But if you got to protect your home court at this point of the year.
But if
all of your home games,
you've got to win.
I feel like you got to win them.
And you feel like, I think that you can get away with losing to Florida at home if you beat Kentucky and Missouri on the road.
Yeah, then people would be disappointed, though, that you won two on the road, but you couldn't protect your home floor against a team that, that is now going to be without Keontae Johnson for the remainder of the year.
That's a good point. You're right on cue there. So the rest of the schedule shakes out. They remember February, Scotty. Isn't that what we said last podcast?
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah,
like
you want to win. You want to win the games in February so you can march into March.
March.
As Mike Anderson said, who just knocked off number three Villanova. That was a pretty big win.
Hey, go Johnnies, baby. St. John Red Storm. All right. We've had a lot of talk here, and I just feel like we should pitch to our interview, Scotty, before we spoil it.
Yeah, they're going to love it. It's super, super interesting, and I think you're going to look like Simon made the point that, and you're going to hear him say this, it's kind of hard to conceptualize shot quality for fans and coaches sometimes, but just listen to what he has to say, and you're probably going to end up watching Arkansas games a bit differently the rest of the year after you listen to this.
All right. We're going to go to a short break when we come back. Simon Gersberg from ShotQuality.com. Simon is a junior at Colgate University. He started with the basketball team his freshman year and started doing all the stuff that he's going to talk about by hand. And then went to his dad after the season and was like, hey, there's got to be an easier way to do this. They made a computer program, got it going for Colgate, and he runs this code now for Colgate, and it worked out. He said then he got bored during the pandemic, started making it for every single Division I school in NCAA basketball, and it has turned into ShotQuality.com. We'll be right back after this short break, and then Simon Gersberg will be on the other side of the break.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back in to the basketball podcast of Mid-America. Seth Campbell, joined as always by Scotty Bordelon, and we get to welcome Simon Gersberg from ShotQuality.com. If you haven't checked out Simon's site, it is very interesting. A lot of statistics. If you like to get into that kind of stuff in basketball, ShotQuality.com. And Simon, let's just start off with, where did you get the idea for this site?
Yeah, so a lot of it was my work originally with the Colgate team. So just to preface that, I'm a junior at Colgate University. I started doing just some analytics work for them freshman year, and I started working with one of the assistants. So I was calculating these shot quality numbers by hand for every game. It would take me like 3-4 hours, really pain in the ass. So I was walking out of the practice gym one day, and I called my dad, and I was just like, there's got to be a way to automate this. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is taking way too long, and clearly there's a way to streamline this. So then I kind of figured it out for the Colgate team mid-season, doing it in like Excel, but it wasn't totally automated. And then during quarantine, I just had a lot of free time and made it all work in this coding language, learned it all during quarantine. And now I'm just trying to build it out as much as possible.
Yeah, so before I give it over to Scotty, how do you get it all? Like, how do you get all of these teams? Because you have, from what I've seen, almost every, is it every team in the college basketball?
Yeah, it's every team. Yeah.
How do you build that out?
It's just a lot of different data sets. So there's just a lot of different data that's being pulled and then reanalyzed. And honestly, the code, I just run it for every game each night. And then because of that, it runs every play. So then I get every player and every team. So it's just a lot of running, but it works out and it's aggregated for sure.
Yeah, that's really neat. I wanted to get a little bit into Arkansas. Eric Musselman said a few weeks ago that for the first time in like 4 or 5 years as a college head coach, that he's really diving pretty deep into his team's shot selection, shot quality, that kind of thing. What are you seeing from Arkansas? I mean, what are your numbers telling you about this team?
Yeah, so honestly, on the offensive side, well, first I'll preface this. I actually talked to the Dobo at Arkansas, Anthony Ruda, I believe that's how you pronounce it. Yeah, I talked to him a while back, but whatever. So offensively, they're honestly like very middle tier in terms of like drives and catch and shoot. So like drives and catch and shoot is obviously the most two most efficient shots you can get in college basketball. They take a good amount of them, but like in terms of like efficiency, they're like middle tier in terms of the quality of shots. But overall, their best shots, Moses Moody catch and shoot three, 42 attempts. That's probably their most biggest sample and just highest quality shot. And then the other ones are cut drop off passes for layups for Desi Sills and Justin Smith are the two other ones that are like their most efficient shots. And then worse, which is probably most important from a coaching perspective, JD Note, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Pick and roll off the dribble three. That is by far their worst shot. And they've taken it 25 times this year. And it's like a very below average shot for college basketball.
You and Eric Musselman would definitely.
Yeah, no kidding. JD is prone to take some really head scratching, make you want to pull your hair out type shots.
Yeah, but going into it, so, you know, basketball has basically evolved into the two main shots are you want to shoot layups and you want to shoot threes. How do you, when you're going through all of the data, I mean, in the data that you already have, what teams are really good at those things from a national perspective?
So, I mean, the obvious answer, but it's just like so true, is Gonzaga. Like they not only get a lot of drives and catch and shoot threes, but their numbers on it are like, I actually had this graph yesterday. I didn't post it, but it was like, they were like 0.2 better than the closest. Like it was actually preposterous how much better of their quality of looks are on those shots. In terms of like frequency, it's Alabama and like Nebraska and Creighton get like a lot of those shots, which is great. But obviously you have to hit them at a really high rate, which is what Gonzaga does.
And then specifically looking at Arkansas again, you talked about some of the poor shots. JD Note taking his, which is one of the worst. But a guy that also has just a terrible percentage on shotquality.com is Jalen Tate. What do you make of Jalen Tate's numbers?
Let me look into it. His drives to the basket are actually very efficient. So he's like top 70th percentile on drives to the basket, which really good shot for him. And even shots at the rim too. But basically every jump shot he takes is a below average shot. So if that's a long mid-range, of course, really bad. Short mid-range, it's actually even worse than long mid-range for him, which is kind of crazy. And then his catch and shoot numbers on 40 attempts are very, very bad. So honestly, like Coach Musselman should just have him drive every single time if he can, because like he has the ability. Like this is the type of player that could actually be like optimized with the shot quality side, because he has the ability to be efficient if he took his shots that were his best shots. But there are some guys in college basketball that just don't have any efficient areas. And like if I'm talking to a coach from that team, like I literally would just say like, yeah, take the best, but like it's still not a good player.
That makes a lot of sense with Jalen Tate, because I do a shot chart for each guy for each game, and then I do kind of a recap at the end of the month. And Jalen Tate is, you know, I think he's one of Arkansas's most efficient finishers, but I'm not. I think he's got an okay mid range game, but I could really do without some of those mid range jumpers. Like a lot of them end up contested, or you know, he might make it, but he might bank it in. Like some of his, I mean, just what do you kind of make of his mid-range game? Because I think Eric Musselman kind of likes that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it is really not. Like, it is a – like that – like if we were talking – like I know I said the JD Note pick and roll off the dribble three was your worst. Like if you actually had the sample size a little bigger, it would be those mid-range for Jaden Tate to be the worst shot by far. Like it is a really bad shot for Arkansas for sure.
And what about Devo Davis? He's another one of Arkansas's point guards. So we've talked about Arkansas's three point guards: Jalen Tate, JD Note, and Devo Davis. All those guys have you know, questionable shot selection. That's not, I don't guess that's great for Arkansas. But what do you see with Devo? I mean, he's a freshman. I guess he's kind of still growing, so kind of trying to pick his spots, I guess.
Yeah, so he's interesting. So he gets to the rim like 76% of his shots, which is obviously really high. But he doesn't finish well at the rim. Like he's like, once again, like our bottom. He takes 60, he's had 62 drives to the basket. And on those drives, the shot quality is like the 40th percentile for an overall shot, which is really bad for a drive to the basket because that's a high quality shot. He actually doesn't have many areas, at least like from the samples that have been pulled so far this year, that like you could be like, hey, take more of these. The only shots that he's really efficient in are like put back layups, which I'm sure doesn't happen too often, or like put backs or like cuts to the basket, I guess you could say also. But yeah, besides that, he really hasn't been too efficient this year.
Talking to Simon Gersberg from shotquality.com. Let's go to the other side. Let's stop talking a little bit about how bad Arkansas is. And let's go to a guy that, well, quite frankly, is really good and high on draft boards. And that's Moses Moody. You know, you got him ranked as I think it's 759th by shot quality standards. But, you know, he's got a great ranking just looking through some more of this stuff. What do you make of Moses's numbers?
First of all of the NBA draft prospects, that's like a way you could filter on this. I'm pretty sure he's like fifth. So honestly, I think just watching him this year and looking at his numbers this year, I think he's a legit like top eight pick in the draft. And then in terms of helping Arkansas, he needs to touch the ball as much as he can, because I mean, besides Justin Smith, I mean, he's, and Desi Sills, maybe, like, he is the most efficient player, needs to get as many touches. I think against Mississippi State yesterday, he had 12 shots. Like, honestly, like, I think Devontae, I think Davis needs to shoot less, and Moses Moody just, like, they cannot have the same amount of shots in the game. That's probably not a great strategy for Arkansas, for sure.
Yeah, when you look at it, you're saying what a lot of Arkansas fans are saying on Twitter or in our mentions and stuff like that, is you got this guy that is so talented and he does need to have the ball in his hands more often. You kind of mentioned that his catch and shoot threes are the highest and most efficient shot on Arkansas's team. Do you have a breakdown more into like other ways Moses Moody scores and how efficient those are?
Yeah. So his short mid range is actually like, extremely proficient. Like his short mid-range, so it's a 1.1, which is essentially like of all of college basketball, 1.1 shot quality points of all college basketball, it's like 65th percentile shot. And for a mid-range shot, that's like exceptional. So like that's a guy I don't mind taking that shot at all, especially compared to someone like Jalen Tate taking that shot. Like that's a big difference. Like I actually, like I think it's almost double. Like his short mid-range is actually half as efficient. Jalen Tate's is half as efficient as Moses Moody's, which is pretty insane, honestly. Yeah, and then his drives are decent, not like particularly great for a drive to the basket, but because he just is so efficient on those short mid ranges and then those catch and shoots, like he has the areas to just take over games for sure.
One other question I had, just player specific, was Connor Vanover. I think he's kind of a novelty. Like if you've watched Arkansas, 7'3" guy that, you know, kind of hangs around the perimeter a lot. Yeah. He's been struggling from three, but I was looking at the site and he rarely takes a bad shot. Like he really has like a bad possession. Or am I reading that wrong?
So a lot of the site stuff with that is the turnovers. So it's like somebody like Devontae Davis is going to be skewed negatively because he turns the ball over more, because we're looking at possession totals and not just shots. I think next year I might move more to shot stuff, because a lot of the possessions is just like I don't like that point guards are skewed worse than big. So I might change that next year, but whatever. Yeah, I mean he has a lot of great areas, and that's like in terms of the quality of shots, like he takes good catch and shoot threes, like a lot of open ones, and he hits them at a good rate. Like his catch and shoot three is very similar to Moody's, and he doesn't drive very often, but when he does, it's been like layup, 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 easy layup, easy layup. So yeah, he honestly is probably one of your most efficient guys for sure.
All right. Talking to Simon.
Sorry. I just had one other thing, I guess, just based on Arkansas shot quality, I guess they should have 15 wins at this point, but they're sitting at, I think, 14-5 right now. Could you kind of explain that?
Yeah. Here, let me find a game where you guys lost and were supposed to. Okay. Wow. Okay. So that Missouri game was a big anomaly. Okay. So you guys lost by 13 against Missouri, but based off the shots you guys took and Missouri took, okay, this is crazy. You guys are supposed to win by 19. So honestly, I don't remember that game, but a lot of it, I bet it was a lot of missed open shots and Missouri just hit a lot of contested shots. That's a crazy swing. That's like one of the biggest swings I've seen in college basketball, actually. So that's probably the biggest difference for you guys. Let's see another game. Oh yeah, that LSU one too was also a big one. Yeah, so those two games were definitely the two biggest games where you're like, wow, we got great shots. They just didn't fall that game, but we're still a good team.
Yeah, that Missouri game, I think Arkansas was 3 of 23 on layups. I mean, the lid was on the rim, kind of similarly to the start of that Mississippi State game last night.
Yep, exactly. And like that, it's a little hard for fans and like a lot of coaches sometimes even to conceptualize it, because it is just such a miss and make world that we live in, honestly. But like, if you just think about the quality you're getting, like in the long run, like you have to be happy with the shots you're getting, which is obviously a good thing.
All right, talking to Simon Gersberg of shotquality.com. Make sure to check out his site. There's just a ton of information, just fantastic stuff. One last question before we let you go. I know you're not an Arkansas Razorback expert, Simon, but looking at the numbers, just kind of your overview of this Razorback team with the weapons that they have, are they good enough to be a NCAA tournament team in your opinion?
Definitely. Yeah, they're definitely good enough to be an NCAA tournament team. No doubt. I think of the SEC right now, I think they're a top three team in the SEC, honestly. I think them, Alabama, and Tennessee would probably be my picks for the SEC right now. So I definitely think they're a tournament team for sure.
All right. Well, Simon, we really appreciate your time talking to us here on the Basketball Podcast in Mid-America.
For sure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
As I said, Simon Gersberg, make sure to check out his website, shotquality.com, to dive into all of the analytics on college basketball.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Welcome back into the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. Now, do you understand? Do you understand why Scotty and I couldn't go the entire front end of the podcast without mentioning it? It is good qualitative data behind what you're seeing. And, you know, some people get mad at the analytics of sports and how they've taken off from Billy Beane in baseball to what it is in basketball, from KenPom to taking quality shots, and you know that is morphed basically into taking threes and layups. But there is credence to that. There is a reason why people are saying that, and Simon, I think, laid it out perfectly. All of those things about Arkansas, and there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, and I think this is the biggest takeaway for me, Scotty, Moses Moody needs to shoot the ball more than anybody on the team every single game, and it shouldn't even be close.
Correct.
It shouldn't even be close.
Yeah. Moses Moody, catch and shoot threes. I need more of those. And use that shot fake on the perimeter to work yourself into those mid-range jumpers, which I found it kind of, I'm going to be honest, I found it hilarious that Moses Moody's mid-range jumpers are twice as efficient as Jalen Tate's mid-range jumpers.
Yikes.
That's crazy. Like, Moses's mid-range jumpers are in that 60th to 65th percentile nationally. I think it's 1.1 shot quality points per possession on those shots. That's really good, like Simon said, for a mid-range jumper. And I think about the only area that I see Moses maybe needs to improve is just finishing. And that's kind of been the thing with him since the beginning of the season, when he kind of started iffy at the rim. But yeah, what was your other big takeaway? I think a lot of people knew or had an idea that JD Notae off the dribble threes were probably not the greatest thing, but for that to be Arkansas's worst shot, because the sample size is there, I don't know that I expected that, because I've seen instances where I kind of like JD off the dribble in a pick and roll. He kind of hides behind the screener and then kind of steps back and hits a three, but you know, that's not an ideal shot for Arkansas.
Yeah, I think that you almost fall in love with the fact that JD is the best shooter on Arkansas's team when he's on and in spurts, but he's not the best shooter on Arkansas's team.
No.
Moses Moody is.
Right.
But you almost have that idea in your mind because you've seen him in the non-conference games where he has busted out. And when he's led the team in scoring for multiple games, you go, okay, well, then obviously that's Arkansas's best scorer. That's not the case. And so I think that that's where JD Notae can almost pull the wool over your eyes a little bit, just because the guy takes 20 shots and makes 10 of them and has 24 points doesn't mean that he's the best shooter on the team. You got to remove that.
Yeah, because at the same time, he got you 24 points, but on 20 shots.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. That's 20 possessions down the court in a game. How many possessions a game has Eric Musselman said that Arkansas averages?
Oh, Arkansas's north of 70. They are at, as of today, they're 19th in the country, averaging about 73 possessions a game.
So Arkansas's at the high end of the country, 70 just over 70 possessions. If JD Notae is taking shots on 20 of them, and I get it, you can have offenses or rebounds, I get that. But I'm not great at math, but that's like over 20%, isn't it?
If you're going to be a volume shooter, your shots have to be high quality, or yeah, Eric Musselman's going to pull you out of the game. And that's kind of what we saw the other night against Mississippi State. JD took 5 shots in the first half, and then he only took 1 after halftime. And I think Arkansas focused a little bit more on trying to get Connor Vanover going, and he did. And I think he got a little bit of his swagger back. And when he knocked down that 3 from the left wing, I think I literally saw the weight of the fan base lift off of his shoulders. David Patrick was one of the first guys off the bench to go meet him and talk to him. Bebe to Kamani Johnson. Those guys were pumped for him. And then there was another bucket on a pick and roll where he got the feed on the roll, and then he took a dribble, and then he finished a reverse layup. JD Notae was standing on the right wing flexing at Connor, and Moses was doing the same thing at half court. Like, they were pumped for him. Connor's playing well, and that's another guy that we talked to Simon about. Connor doesn't take bad shots.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Like, and he rarely has bad possessions. If you look at his website, he's got a good possession rate and a bad possession rate, and all that stuff is broken down by percentage if you go to the stats explained page. But Connor, his bad possessions come when he turns the ball over, which is fairly rare. Like, he had a bad day against Oklahoma State with a couple of careless turnovers. But aside from that, anytime the ball is in Connor's hands, he's not taking a bad shot. And more often than not, he's either moving the ball or he's finding a teammate for a shot.
Yeah, Connor's good possession rate is 36% of the time. If Connor has the ball, it's a good possession. Bad possession, 16%.
That's best on the team, right? That 16% number?
I do not know. I do not have that.
I would be shocked if it wasn't.
But all of that is to say, going back just a little bit, JD Notae, if he shoots 20 shots in a game, that's over, I did the math because calculators, that's 28%. 28% of your shots were shot by JD Notae. That's not what you want. Moses Moody is the only player on this team that should have that. And we're kind of going all over the place. So we'll come back to Moses and get into Connor. I think you can tell we're just a little bit excited about this stuff.
Yeah, like I was like telling everybody. I typed up the transcript because I'm going to try to use it, what Simon said, for a story later in the week. But I was I typed up the transcript and I was sending it to everybody. I was like, look at this. This is incredible.
But we'll stick with Connor and get back into Moses here in a second. But Connor, and when you think about Connor's game, it makes sense. he hasn't taken a lot of mid-range this year. You almost want him to take more in the way of the fact that he's 7'3" and can almost see over the defense. And you're like, I don't necessarily know that'd be a bad shot. But Connor sticks with the three-pointer, which he can make at a decent clip. And don't even get me started about people saying that he can't. He was one of two players to hit a three-pointer against Mississippi State. So if you're going to talk trash about Connor not being able to shoot threes, you're going to have to include every single other person that didn't hit a three in that game and not let them shoot threes either. So
right.
That's that. We're not going to do that. We're going to stick with the facts, and the facts are that Connor can shoot threes.
All of his shots were good shots. Like, they're catch and shoot threes. And the thing about Connor is he's self-conscious enough to know, or he's got the wherewithal to know, that he probably shouldn't take a contested three, even though nobody's going to block it.
Right.
But if he can't get a three off with plenty of airspace, he's going to swing the ball, and the ball's probably going to it might find him again. And so his shot selection, I don't have a problem hardly at all with any of his shots. And we talked to David Patrick a couple of days ago, and I asked him about Connor's greatest influence on the game the last three games, you know, outside of his, I think he's blocked 14 shots in the past four games, which is really good because he just came off a stretch where he didn't block one for four games. And I don't think he played more than 9 minutes in a game. But anytime he said he couldn't speak for Connor because he's not 7 foot tall, but anytime you're that big and you miss around the rim, like, it gets magnified. But nobody has lost any confidence whatsoever in Connor. Like, Eric Musselman has not once told Connor, hey, don't pull the trigger on one of these threes, because he can shoot. He can shoot. And you see the value because he scored a couple times on pick and roll where he actually rolled to the rim.
Yes.
And then he also picked and slipped, missed the layup, but he also pick and pop, knocked down a three. So he's showing you a little bit of the versatility there.
I think that Connor showed more versatility being able to roll to the rim, which is something we haven't seen a whole lot in the season before the last game against Mississippi State. I think that he was a pick and pop kind of guy. And I think that that's what teams scouted him as, was a pick and pop guy, so that they didn't really have to worry about the roll into the lane, which, if you don't have to worry about the roll into the lane, that means that the other three defenders that aren't involved in the pick and roll, they don't have to help off their defenders as much because they don't have to worry about somebody coming into the lane. If Connor can be a threat rolling into the lane, that sucks the defense in to where a pass or two coming off that pick and roller, maybe to the guy that is rolling or to another teammate, is more open. It opens up the offense. And I think that that is a key to Arkansas, is Connor's going to have to be more than just the pick and pop guy. And he showed that he can, and that he has the ability to get in the lane, handle passes that are thrown to him, and finish them.
Yeah, he's got great hands.
Yeah, for a guy that's 7'3", you almost skip a breath every single time somebody passes it in those short passes down low to him. But he really hasn't fumbled a lot. There's a few that they've thrown, you know, kind of at his knees or at his ankles or whatever, that he hadn't been able to handle. But dude, 7'3", don't throw it at his ankles.
Right.
I would rather you throw it out of his reach above him to where maybe he can go and get it and nobody else can, rather than throw it at the dude's knees. No, none of these, you know, passes from the waist to Connor. Connor's passes need to be at the chest or above, and he can handle them just fine.
Yeah, his three and rim shot rate is very high. I like that. That's perfect for Connor.
All right, I want to get back in a little bit to Moses Moody. Catch and shoot three is the best shot for Arkansas. But I think more than anything, this may be me, but I feel like I'm plugged in enough to the Razorback fan base and to the Razorback team on both sides of it that I can kind of judge this. Moses Moody has a distinct potential to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft coming up. Like, Moses Moody is more likely that he will than he won't be an NBA lottery pick. Moses Moody does not have the fame or acclamation or shots, number of reps from Arkansas this year that would sense that. I don't think that Arkansas has gotten him the ball enough, and that he has shown, and by not like shown S-H-O-W-N, S-H-O-N-E, like a star. And I'm curious as to why. Like, Arkansas, when they had Bobby Portis, you knew Bobby Portis was the star of that team. Even as a freshman, you know, Bobby took an extra year as a sophomore, and his sophomore year really took off. But that was the first-round draft pick for Arkansas. Another first-round draft pick, Daniel Gafford. He wasn't the shooter. You still had Macon and Barford and those guys that were going to shoot. But Gafford was a presence. Moses Moody is a presence, and people talk about him, and he's been scouted. But I don't know. I feel like he needs to be the go-to to Arkansas, to where every single time he's in the game, the ball needs to touch his hands every single time down the court. He doesn't have to shoot it, but I just don't feel like that sense of urgency is there. Am I wrong, Scotty?
No, I feel like more offense should absolutely run through him, and especially after we talked to Simon and just got his thoughts. He said that, you know, Moses has enough areas where he is proficient at on the floor to take over games. But I think Moses, he's also the type of guy that's not going to take shots just because he's like, he doesn't have a number in his head. Like, I need to get 18 shots this game. Moses is a very get my offense out of the flow type of guy. And he's not going to force things. Like, that's anytime you see Moses Moody take a bad shot, he's pressing. Like, that's just kind of where I am with him. And I don't want to say that he's streaky, but he gets on these. I broke down every shot that each Arkansas player took against Mississippi State, and he got going with those off the dribble mid-range shots in each of the short corners, which are really good shots for him. So you don't have a problem at all with him taking them. And that kicked off a run of four straight shots that he made. And then he finished the game with six straight misses. And so he a little bit up and down. And we've kind of seen that from him a little bit over the last couple of weeks, where he'll score in single digits. And then the next game, he'll go for 25 plus, and then he'll score single digits again, and then he'll go for 17, 18 points. Moses just isn't going to force it. And, you know, I kind of wish he would be a little bit more aggressive in, you know, wanting – I don't want to say that he doesn't want to be the go-to guy, but he's not – I don't feel like he's going to be, like, overly demanding, like I need to have the ball. Like he's much more of a team guy that, like, I think he trusts his teammates. But the thing is, like, some of his teammates take bad shots that I wish that Moses was taking instead.
It comes down to that equation of, like, no offense to Vance Jackson or JD Notte or anything, but I'd rather take a Vance or a Moses Moody bad shot than either one of those guys bad shot. And I'd rather take a Moses Moody bad shot sometimes than, you know, I get, you know, if a JD Notte and Vance Jackson are open from three, yes. But anything else off the dribble, if they have to pump fake, if they have to drive, I'd rather Moses shoot it. That's me. And I feel like some of the numbers back that up, but, you know, maybe I'm being a little dramatic.
And I'd rather have a Moses mid-range than a Devo Davis mid-range shot too.
Yeah, that
or Jalen Tate.
That kind of blew my mind a little bit, Scotty, because when you think about it, especially from the Oklahoma State game and even the game before that for the Razorbacks when they played Ole Miss, and even into Vanderbilt, like, Devo had kind of emerged as a little bit of a mid-range threat, like, kind of off the dribble.
Yeah, he's a threat from there, for sure.
And when Simon said that that's not a good shot, it kind of surprised me in a way. Because
his efficiency is not there.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean that it's a real bad shot.
Yeah.
It's just if you take six of them and you only make one, like, that's not great.
And I think that's what surprised me, the fact of I thought he was making more. I don't know why I thought he was
going into. So I looked this up because I did the January recap on my shot charts. And going into the Mississippi State game, Devo was 11 of 24 on those mid-range jump shots. So it's an okay shot for him, but efficiency, like, in that range, you would probably like it to be a little bit better than the 45 to 48% range. You know what I mean? So it's a shot that he's a threat with. He's got to get a little bit more proficient at it.
All right. I think there was something else that we talked about Vanover. I mean, Jalen Tate shouldn't shoot a lot of shots, in all honesty. Driving to the rim is not good.
Driving to him
Oh, no, driving
Jaylen,
to the rim.
Jaylen getting to the rim is good.
Everything else is bad.
Yeah. So catch and shoot threes for Jaylen. Tate, not great. I mean, he hasn't been a great three-point shooter at any point in his career, even though he did, I think, what, last week? He had hit like six or seven threes over his last three games, which
he only hit nine the last year.
Yeah, that's most he's ever hit over a three-game stretch in his career. So that was good, but if Jaylen, so like Simon said in the interview, like if he was Eric Musselman, he would just tell Jaylen Tate to drive all the time and like get rid of the mid-range jumpers. Like his short mid-range is really good. We saw it against Mississippi State. I think early in the second half, he drove, kind of spun away from the defense, threw up a nice short mid-range shot. That's good. That's good offense. Him getting to the rim, good offense too. But ideally, like I feel like if you're going to take mid-range jumpers, they should be from Moses, and that's about it. And then maybe if Devo gets in that short mid-range area, that elbow extended space on the floor, if he gets better at that, then I wouldn't mind those. But yeah, because Eric Musselman has said in the past that he likes Jaylen's mid-range game, and we saw, I think it was the Tennessee game on the road, he hit maybe three or four of those. But at the same time, one of those makes banked in from high off the glass, and it wasn't really that contested. So I don't know. It's pretty interesting, but I think the general conclusion that we've gathered from this interview is that Moses needs more shots, and some other players maybe need to yield some of their shots to a guy like Moses.
Connor Vanover, keep doing what you're doing. Moses Moody, take more. Maybe Jaylen Tate.
Devon. And going back to Connor for a second, like somebody asked Connor if he'd ever gone through a slump like this from three, and he said he hadn't. And so we're obviously seeing something that Connor has not really experienced before from 3-point range. I mean, he's a threat. I didn't have a problem with the shot at the end of the Oklahoma State game.
Oh no, that's open.
Wide open. JD Notae made the right play. It just didn't fall. And we learned from looking at shot quality too that Arkansas, based on their shots that they've gotten, they should have one more win. And so sometimes the shots just don't fall.
Yeah.
But I don't think Arkansas staff wants Connor Vanover to stop taking wide open catch and shoot threes, that's one of the best shots you can get in college basketball, the catch and shoot three. The other is a drive to the rim. You want one of your better shooters, or one of the guys that you have a good amount of confidence in, to continue to take one of the best shots in college basketball. Like you don't want to tell him to cut it out.
You went into that deep dive of the Arkansas-Mississippi State game. And I mean, by deep, I mean, you went into catch and shoot threes, shots off the bounce, how every player performed, every single shot that Arkansas shot in that Mississippi State game. Scotty went through, figured out how the shot was set up and what was a good shot, what was a bad shot, and what all happened in that shot. What did you find from that info? Anything groundbreaking?
Arkansas was pretty good in transition. And I think they were 5 of 7 on shots in transition. And one of the shots that was missed was a Moses Moody mid-range jumper, which in that particular instance, he probably didn't feel like he could get to the rim, but you're in transition, maybe try to get to the rim, force a whistle, get to the line, because you're a great free throw shooter. But I really liked Justin Smith's second half that he had against Mississippi State. His first shot was a layup, a baseline out of bounds play. Second bucket was a layup in transition. He missed a long two from the right corner, which I don't like Justin. Like we could probably throw Justin Smith mid-range jumpers into the category of please don't take this shot. Didn't like that shot, but he also got a layup on a back cut assisted by Connor Vanover, an offensive rebound putback that he made, and then had a dunk in transition. Those are the types of shots that you want Justin Smith to get. If he wanders too far away from the lane, not a big fan of that. But I was pretty pleased with what Justin Smith gave in the second half, and Connor too. Like Connor's second half buckets are drop off dunk, drop off layup, transition dunk, pick and roll dunk, and a pick and pop three.
It's pretty good.
That's those are good shots for Connor.
Yeah, that's where you want to go. Arkansas, 77% of their possessions when Connor Vanover is, let's see, when Connor Vanover is in the game, more than 77% of their possessions either end with a layup or a three. It's pretty good. That's I mean, I think the highest I saw was there was like an 87%, which is kind of ridiculous, but I think that's where you want to be with Connor. All right, Scotty, anything else to add before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. Anybody have any ideas on how to spend a Saturday without basketball?
No. Isn't it supposed to be cold, too?
Probably.
So don't go outside. Just stay in and cry.
Just rest up for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are we a fan of the Super Bowl on a Sunday? Because I think it should move, but that's just me.
I'm not a fan of having to go back to work on Monday.
Yeah.
So I could see it, but I mean, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, NFL plays games on Sundays.
But they play games on Saturdays.
But
dude,
when are most of their games?
On Sunday. Hey, they played a game every single day of the week this year. Every single game, day of the week.
On Sunday, the Lord tells us to rest and watch pro football.
I don't know that. Where'd you find that one in? The book of Roger Goodell?
Something like that.
Okay. Well, I think that it should move to Saturday. Or you could give Monday as a national holiday, but I feel like it's more likely for it to move to Saturday. The teams get more than 2 weeks to prepare. Or I guess it would be one day less than 2 weeks. I think it would be enough time. Anyway, it's our small aside. Are you going for Chiefs or Bucks?
I always root for chaos.
Chaos.
There are enough football games that are decided by multiple touchdowns. There are enough basketball games that are decided by like 20 plus points. Like a couple weeks ago when Alabama and LSU played at LSU, I was pumped for that game. And then Alabama hit like 9 of his first 10 threes and the game's over 6 minutes in. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Right.
So what do I do now? Like I want to be, ideally, I would like to be intrigued the whole way. And I think with the quarterback play on both sides, I think it'll be a pretty good game. I figure the Chiefs will win. They just got so many weapons, man.
They're talented.
Travis Kelce is an animal. Rob Gronkowski on the other side at tight end. Dan Le Batard calls him a polar bear. I mean, he's a polar bear at the tight end spot. I had the crazy idea that, like, what if both tight ends like covered each other defensively? Like, if Gronk's on offense, why not throw Travis Kelce on the field to match up with him? Like, they should do that. But that would make it more fun, but that's never going to happen.
Well, astute football analysis there, Scotty.
Yeah, just put both tight ends on the field the whole time.
All right. I think that we should end on that. For Scotty Bordeline, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you for listening to us here on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. If you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe. That way we just pop up right wherever you're listening to us right now. If you also liked it, you can go down to the little rate, give us 5 stars. That helps other people find the podcast so that we can continue to give you great analytics and data about the Arkansas basketball team, including stuff from shotquality.com. Big shout out to Simon Gersberg from shotquality.com. We really appreciated his interview. Fantastic stuff. Make sure to check out his website once again at shotquality.com.
I still can't get over that interview. It was fun. Like that was one of the most informative interviews we've had.
Honestly, we might have him back sometime because
he's a believer in Arkansas. Like they're a tournament team, one of the top 3 teams in the league right now. And
he's one of the few. I think he might be believed more than some in the state here believe.
Yeah, absolutely. But the best predictor of future team success is quality shots. And Arkansas is one of the best in the SEC getting quality shots.
3rd in the SEC, I believe, in quality shots. Well, and if you also want to find out more stuff about the Razorbacks, you want more baseball information, because that's about to start. You want more basketball information or even football. Some big news may have happened on the football front. I'm not really for sure what that was, but whatever.
What do you mean?
You know, there's a team that's in the northwest portion of the state, and they might play a team from the northeast portion of the state.
Or northwest.
I said northwest first.
Oh, okay. Well, that I can't listen. Maybe that's why I don't know what's going on.
There's a team. Yeah. I mean, you know, Scotty, he didn't just like write an article and you have a press conference with him. But yeah,
A&M games are going to move back to campus, it looks like. Yeah. 2025. That's exciting.
Find out all that information, a lot more stuff on wholehogsports.com. This has been the longest outro.
All the Arkansas State contract, all the Arkansas State contract information is in a story on the site. I mean, I don't think that's information you're going to get anywhere else. So check it out.
Hey, there you go. Let's see. What else can we throw in this thing to make it longer? You know, baseball season's right around the corner. Matt Jones, I think, does a podcast for baseball. It ended really abruptly, which is really sad, from last year. So they're ready to go there and start their season in Dallas. I bought tickets for my dad to that, so I'm going to try and sneak down to Dallas for a few days, too. What else? Just Scotty and I know that y'all are tired of us, so we're going to go away now. Subscribe, like, share us with a friend. If you didn't like it, come back next week. Give us another try. You know, sometimes the second go-around's better. All right. For Scotty Borderline again, I am Seth Campbell saying so long. We will see you back here next week.